fishing. That's what I'm doing.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan, and I have some very exciting guests on the show today, so that you want to really pay attention to this one. If you are an angler, in particular a fly fishing angler, we're going to tell you about some places that you've probably never been, but you definitely need to go to. What we're going to do is we're going to start off with Jason Grupp, who operates Breakwater Tours and takes people to Belize, plus other exotic places, El Salto and for bass fishing, and mainland Mexico, and then, of course, Belize and any place you want to go. And then we're going to go back in with Patagonia with Bill Klein. But Jason, give us a quick idea about what you do.
Well, I host trips and set up my clients to go to different places and help them get gear and, you know, basically hold their hand to go on these trips. It's not easy to know what to do, where to go, who to call, what you need to bring, and I help out with that. And I've been doing it for close to 20 years, and I'm lucky enough to say that I host these trips, so I get to go with as well.
Mm-hmm.
And take in, you know, these amazing places. And one I know we're touching on today is Belize. And I just got back from there. I took about a dozen guys down on this trip, and you talk about a remarkable place. Giant fish, shallow water, sight fishing on fly rod. You put those things together, and it's a pretty amazing experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had a great trip, and the Belize people are just so friendly and welcoming, and not once did I feel like I, you know, wasn't safe, and the traveling there was great. So it's a really neat destination to go to.
Okay.
What places did you fish, Jason? I'd sure like to know.
Well, we went to El Pescador, and, you know, they're one of the best outfitters down there, fantastic guides. And I know Yvon Chouinard, I saw a video, he was down there, so you could probably add a few stories that he's had for that. But yeah, El Pescador Resort is just top-notch, and all their information's on my website if anybody wants to go. But, you know, they just got this team of guides that have been there a long time, great boats. The resort is fantastic. The food, I'll never forget the night of all-you-can-eat lobsters. They literally put a platter of about 50 lobsters on our table when we got back from a 12-hour day for tarpon. it's not so bad down there. We really enjoy it.
Well, before we get into the fishing, let's kind of give an overall of Belize. How do you get there, and a little bit of the area, and are you primarily just saltwater fishing?
Yeah, we are pretty much saltwater fishing. There's a little lagoon that you can fish behind, and which is saltwater as well, but mostly you're out on the flats, and if you can picture flats, it's just hundreds and hundreds and thousands of miles of water that's pretty much 4 to 5 feet deep. It's unbelievable how consistent the depth is on these flats. It's amazing, you know, and there's certain areas where it drops off, or if you go out to the reef, it goes, you know, a little deeper, and it's a pretty amazing experience to run across these flats for hours and fishing, and you pull off into these little mangroves and throw on snook, and you know, these guides know these areas so well, it makes it a lot of fun. But getting there, it's a long day. You can get there in one day, but like we fly out of California, so we route through Dallas and then fly to Belize City. Once you get to Belize City, you jump on a puddle jumper small plane and you fly out to San Pedro, which is on Ambergris Cay. And it's a small island. And then from there, you jump on a boat and the boat takes you to the resort. So the traveling there actually is you know, a very cool experience as well, especially the final leg boat ride with a beer in hand to the resort.
Right.
So it's not too bad getting there.
Well, I kind of picture then is what you're talking about is not that much different than parts of Florida, the Keys, and the Caribbean. The big difference is Belize has very little pressure. And how far along are they as far as infrastructure?
You know, the roads were pretty rough. That's one reason why you take a boat to the resort. But, you know, it wasn't bad. You can almost compare it to, you know, when you're in Mexico, things like that. It's fine. The infrastructure is good. And I got to tell you, the food everywhere I went was amazing, as well as the people. So I thought it was kind of a step above. I really liked it. And yes, those flats are very similar to, you know, Florida and the other places that have flats like that. Weather's great. And one really cool experience, we went into a park that's protected, and we were in there fishing for tarpon and literally surrounded by manatee. So that was just kind of cool. And these parks are just very wild. Tons of fish. I must have caught 20 different species of fish the one day when we were in these parks. And these are not small fish. These are huge tarpon, giant barracuda, wow. Big permit. Everything's in there. And a lot of fish, I didn't even know what they were when I'd catch them. So, and then another plus to Belize is they speak English. So there's no language barrier there, which is really nice. So you're speaking English with the guides. There's no communication problem. So that makes it a lot nicer as well.
And the primarily what you're targeting would be maybe tarpon, bonefish, and in flats fishing. And the boat that you use, is that just like a flat bottom, or do you cruise around like a bass boat, or what do you use?
Yeah, they're center, most of them, you know, and they do vary a little bit, but most of them are center console flat boats. So you've got a deck in the front where a guy can stand up on the bow and really get the angle to look into the water and spot these fish. So the guide is he's in the back creeping up onto these mangroves, and you're trying to see these 80-pound tarpon cruising in the edges of the mangroves and then put the fly in front of them and game on from there. And the main species are bonefish, permit, tarpon, and snook. And the bonefish down there I didn't find were very hard to catch. The permit and were the hardest. But we were on schools of, you know, 50 to 100 fish that were ranging from 15 to 20 pounds. I mean, just unbelievable. And you do need some heavier fly gear down there. When I was fishing for permit, I was on a 9-weight, and I was wishing I was on a 10, and I actually snapped 2 9-weights when I was down there. And I blew up an 11-weight on a tarpon, so I came home with a lot of broken rods, but that's what happens down there. It's just hardcore fly fishing. It's really fun.
Well, that sounds a little bit different than what you'd probably find in Patagonia, isn't it, Bill?
Oh, very much so. You know, obviously, Patagonia is known for its freshwater fishing down there. However, they do have some interesting, you know, offshore saltwater, or inshore, I should say, down there. But Patagonia is truly a very, very unique area. But I'm intrigued by Belize, and I've been down there a few times, as Jason mentioned, and there are so many great spots, whether you kind of go out on the reef, and there's like Turner Flats, which you're about 23 miles off the coast, versus something like Belize River Lodge, which is a river lodge. So that really has some great snook, some interesting tarpon fishing, as Jason said, broken a few rods back in there, and they can still come out and fish a lot of those offshore areas. And I like Belize River Lodge. It's about 10 minutes from the airport. which is pretty fascinating.
Well, I think what we need to do is maybe go down there with Jason, and then we got to figure out a way to get down to Patagonia. We got about a little bit over a minute left, and we're going to take a break. But what I would like to, just a couple of quick questions on, you mentioned that you fly into Belize City and then take a little puddle jumper and then a boat to the lodge. And it's normally would be an all-inclusive type trip. Is that what you put together?
Yeah, the packages I put together, it includes the airfare on the puddle jumper. Mm-hmm. My clients are responsible for the airfare to get to Belize City, mm-hmm. which, for example, from LAX was about $800 to get to Belize City. And then within the package that we pay to the lodge, the flight from Belize City to Ambergris Cay was covered within that.
Okay, and you probably want to take your own equipment.
Yeah, the lodge does have equipment, and you can use it. It's a little beat up, as rental equipment always is at these resorts. But I personally am kind of a perfectionist
right.
with my gear.
Yeah, so. you want to always use your own gear if you can. Anyway, we're going into a break. We'll be back in about 3 minutes, so don't go very far. And we're going to continue with Jason a little bit, and then Bill's going to give us a lot more information about Patagonia. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio. Make sure you visit us at fishtalkradio.com, and we'll go to the contest.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Santos Finisterre Los Cabos is the only 5-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Santos Finisterre Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Santos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true 5-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
The road stretches for miles in front of you. And with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway. So your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio, and enjoy the great outdoors.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
Well, some like to rock, some like to roll, but me and the boys gonna shake, rattle, and troll.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and I have two experts, but I'd say these guys they've got the kind of jobs that most people would only dream about. We have Jason, who was just talking about taking people to Belize and a little bit of an area to get there and, you know, a little bit about what it's like. And we have Bill Klein from Patagonia. And Bill, I always mess this up, but you are the you are in charge of international development for the Patagonia Clothing Company. Okay. Oh, I did it right? Okay.
Yeah, good for you.
Good for me. And then, of course, Patagonia, the company itself, I've heard it referred to as the greenest company in the world. And the concept of what you guys do and how you do it, if we can just spend 30 seconds on that, it would be great.
Well, in 30 seconds, it's pretty tough. Obviously, we want to, you know, the company itself wants to create the best product and do the least harm, and we want to use the company to inspire other businesses to come up with an environmental solution to all the threats we're seeing around the country. And everything we do, from, you know, how we manufacture our clothing through our whole supply chain into trying to take care of environmentally sensitive areas through our Patagonia Grants program and 1% for the Tetons. Mm-hmm. So that kind of leads into the Patagonia, I mean, and South America. Patagonia, as you well know, is the southern part of Chile and Argentina, so it's an entire region. So the Tierra del Fuego area in Chile, and then you have the Argentinian side. So it's vastly wild, remote country. You go from incredible mountains, lots of glaciers, and they feed down into the numerous streams that run all through that area. And, of course, they have some of the best and large trout fishing in the world. And, of course, the ideal time is our winter, their summer. So right now the fishing is exceptional at this point in time. So obviously to get down there, we talked about Belize. It's a little longer flight down to Chile and Argentina, but they have direct flights out of L.A. and San Francisco down that area into Santiago in Chile or into Buenos Aires in Argentina. Mm-hmm. And so from there you can catch smaller flights down to that southern region in Tierra del Fuego. And there's quite a few different lodges down there that, you know, there's numerous companies that book there, and we can give you names of those later on. Mm-hmm. But the great thing about that area, the people are fantastic. The food is absolutely spectacular. Lots of fresh vegetables. And, of course, they're known for their beef and lamb. And it's just an incredible epic to have lamb in chimichurri sauce that they cook fresh over grills.
Bill, I think Jason told us ahead of time he's going to have to go on to another meeting. I guess he's got to go fly fishing this afternoon or something. So his fish are calling. So we're going to let Jason sneak away, but we're going to continue talking about you, Jason. And that is breakwatertours.com, correct?
Yeah, it is. And thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate you guys.
You want to sign something else off before you leave, Jason?
What's that?
Do you want anything else you want to say or sign off?
No, I just, you know, I love talking about the sport of fly fishing. It gets me all fired up. I feel like going and grabbing a flight right now. But, yeah, the Belize is a neat spot if anybody wants to go. And if anybody needs some help, feel free to give me a call. Hit my website, Breakwater Tours, and I'll get you guys set up with the right people and the right time of year and right, the right equipment. The whole
and
deal.
Hopefully next year you'll be taking a trip down to Patagonia.
Oh, I hope so.
Okay.
Bill, we got to go.
All right.
All right.
Thanks.
You're on, Jason.
Okay.
We might even take John with us.
Hey, I'm up for that. I'm up for that. Now, Bill, to get back with a little bit, you know, Patagonia is it's probably as well known for its ecotourism as it is for its fishing. And give us a little bit of an idea about what is there. I mean, it's way far south, but, you know, temperature range, and where would you compare it to if you're looking at North America about as far as the climate?
You're pretty much, it varies as you further go south in on the ocean side in Chile. It's a cold weather rainforest, and then most of Argentina and a lot of Chile is pretty much like the Rocky Mountains. So you have days that are very warm, and it gets cool at night, and then you also have, you know, those chilly cold rains. So you need to be prepared with, you know, some good gear to keep warm and to keep dry. So, and it's interesting you mentioned one of the things that Patagonia has been doing for years, and we've been working with a great California native by the name of Doug Tompkins, and he used to own North Face and then Esprit, the clothing company. So he started years ago to set aside land in Chile, and now they have a 760,000-acre area that they set aside and gave back to the Chilean government called Pumalin Park. Spectacular area that has enormous amounts of fishing, lots of hiking, backpacking, a little bit of everything, which is a gorgeous area. And then about a few years later, they came across another area from the Valle Chacabuco, which is 174,000 acres. And now the two of them have teamed up to have an enormous area where you have incredible fishing. You go right from the ocean up to the mountains. So it's great areas to wander around. And the this latest park that they've done is has just opened. So it's a brand new area, the Patagonia Park, it's called in Chile. So, you know, definitely want to take advantage of going down to those areas.
Well, I'm just picturing that you can probably find an area or a stream or a lake that there's no RVs parked around.
Well, that's the beauty of that area. You can get in a car, rent a car, and start driving, and you'll hit water and lakes and a little bit everything under the sun. However, it is pretty remote, so you have to make sure you're covered well, if something's happening. But it is one of the last wild places on the planet that you can drive and find some unbelievable fishing.
Yeah, well, we're going to be talking about Alaska in a little bit, but what you said was kind of interesting because Alaska is huge. I think if you take California, Wyoming, and Texas and formed a state, it would be the second largest state. But Alaska, there's only very small areas that you have access to. But it sounds like Patagonia, if you just want to go out and explore, you can do that.
Yes, exactly. It has much greater access and easier access, of course, in Alaska.
Mm-hmm. And the what we mentioned that the lakes and streams, and you said it's got some of the largest trout. What are some of the other freshwater fish?
It's interesting. They do have some steelhead and Atlantic salmon. It's interesting over the years when the Brits started to go down there many years ago, they started to bring a number of trout. And then over the years, they brought in some different species. So you have different types of salmon, and you do have steelhead, and you have lots of trout. So it's really a fascinating area that you can get into, quite a few different types of fish.
What about the saltwater?
In saltwater, a little more challenging because you don't have flats like you do, as Jason was talking about in Belize. But if you have a little boat, there is some really great fisheries out there. Of course, you probably do a little better with some traditional or conventional tackle. But those fans who are anglers who are also surfers, they have some spectacular surfing all along that coast in Chile, too.
Well, we talked a little bit about the climate compared to someplace in the United States. So, obviously it's South America, so, our seasons are reversed. But, of course, Patagonia, the reason that the company Patagonia came about was to build clothing that would stand up to the rigors of Patagonia.
Yes, exactly. As we mentioned, the founder of Patagonia, Yvonne Chouinard, he had spent months down there and done some of the first ascents in the Fitzroy Range. And the actual Patagonia logo is the Fitzroy Range itself. So it's a pretty fascinating area. But because you go to the very southern tip of South America, that's some of the most radically different weather and conditions. They call it the Roaring Forties on that parallel down there because you have extraordinarily wild weather with incredible winds and rains and snows. So pretty interesting area.
Well, and again, one of the main reasons to go there is because it's so pristine. And I guess uncivilized would be a good way to put it. But if you want to find out, what nature is all about, that sounds like that's one of the places you got to put on the list.
Absolutely. It's truly a spectacular area. Words can't even begin to describe some of the beauty that's down there.
Mm-hmm. And what about if someone wanted to go down there, should they use a tour guide, a trip, or should they just go down there and rent a car?
Well, it varies. You can do a lot of research and find your way around. A lot of folks, they'll end up going down and spend a few weeks down there. They may go to a lodge, that they can go learn more about a particular area and then take off on their own. Generally, if you're going to Belize or even down to Patagonia, I always encourage people to spend extra time down there to just take advantage of the culture. So if you go to Santiago and Buenos Aires, you hear all the incredible stories of the nightlife, and it is true.
That's true. You wouldn't know about that, but you heard it's true.
I've heard tell. But it truly is spectacular. And then as you go further south, the people are absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. You come across all the estancias, which are the big ranches down there, and you just meet all the local folks, and they're so kind and endearing, right. And they really can.
We're gonna go to another break because we have another segment that we're gonna take you on a float plane to a remote lake up somewhere in Alaska. Real quickly, do they speak Spanish in Patagonia? But or do you have to? Are you okay with English?
if you're in the cities, you're okay with English, but when you get down south, you really need to have Spanish or be able to converse fairly well in Spanish because they don't speak English.
Yeah, well, everybody understands dollars, though, right?
They do. Food, wine, and dollars. I understand all three.
That's awesome. Hey, Bill, we so appreciate you being on. Hopefully, you're going to be able to stick around, and you may have some questions or comments from Jim that operates a float pin plane operation out of Ketchikan, Alaska. We'll be right back. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.
Day of fishing is better than a good day at work.
I'm John Hennigan, host of Fish Talk Radio. This is Common Sense Conservation, brought to you by Santa Monica Seafood. We have Bob Wade from Santa Monica Seafood. Bob, what do we have going today?
The question on the table is about the life cycle and the return of how salmon, with their indigenous blueprint on their brain, perform a great value for us in the dining world to have a consistent, sustainable resource. As we know, salmon are produced in fresh water, small amount of time in rivers, they migrate out to the ocean, and they spend anywhere between 3 and 5 years in an environment in the ocean, living, breathing, until Mother Nature rings an intrinsic bell in their head to return to their river of birth. Very interesting opportunity. And the more that we can return to the ocean on birth, obviously through water, making sure rivers have plenty, impediments like hydro impingements, dams, is going to allow more to return to the nature that they were born and raised in. We harvest these animals as they return to finish the life cycle in a saltwater environment. They'll return to a freshwater environment, complete life cycle with a long endurance migration back up through freshwater to breed and then perish. But even with their perishing, they will supply into the back into the life cycle of our river systems that will supply animal life, protein life to sustain the river systems that we've become so used to enjoying.
Santa Monica Seafoods works for sustainable fisheries.
Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll-free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at vivalapaz.com. Viva La Paz!
Everybody fishing. Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. As promised, we're taking you all the way about as far south as you can go to as far north as you would want to go. Let's put it this way, covering the world of fishing. In particular, we've been talking about fly fishing in exotic places that not too many people have had the opportunity to do, but I think anybody that's really into the sport really wants to do. We're going to introduce now Jim Cosmos, who operates an operation out of Ketchikan, Alaska with float planes, and it's called Southeast Alaska Aviation. Southeast Aviation, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
And so if you make it up to Ketchikan, which we're going to be up there in July, then if you want to do something besides, you know, go out and trolling for salmon, I think Jim's got a good idea for you. Jim, what do you suggest?
Well, we've got a lot of wonderful lakes here in the Tongass National Forest and the Misty Fjords National Monument that we fly folks here out on a remote lake. We'll get their introduced to their guide and and a very experienced Southeast Alaska fly fisherman. And we'll take them in their gear and a picnic lunch and everything else they might need. And we'll load them up and go fly into a remote lake and drop them off and just let them fish with their guide out there and really enjoy the you know, one of the most beautiful places on earth.
Bill, I'll make a quick comment on this. You're talking about the remote and the pristine beauty of Patagonia. When Jim puts you on an airplane and takes you out, traditionally what they do, there are so many beautiful, pristine lakes, the freshwater lakes, that they're not real close together, but in an airplane, they're not that far apart. And you've got your choice of so many. So when I went up there, and there was one that the pilot wanted to land on, so we start circling and going in, and he saw a float plane was already there. And this was not a small lake. So he goes, up, can't go there. So we flew over to another one because they don't want anybody else on the lake with you.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
We try to make it a nice private,
like Lake Casita, California, right?
Folks.
Yeah. It's kind of, and obviously, there's not too many RVs along the banks either.
No, sir.
Bill, you've probably got some questions. I know that you've been everywhere and fished everywhere and done everything, but you may have some questions for Jim about the process and how it's done.
Well, Jim, I love the fact that you're flying a beaver up there, which I think is a great plane, and that allows you to get into a lot of those places. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's the only way. I mean, we're here in Ketchikan. We're on an island. It's called Revilla Gigedo Island, and everything outside of here, you got to get out by a seaplane. That's the only way out.
That's incredible. Now, do you go to different lakes or just that one lake?
No, there's a lot of lakes here in the Tongass and the Misty Fjords area, and so we try to pick one that's we try to tailor to our customers' needs, and there's a lot of large lakes, small lakes, and all different types of fish out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the fish you find in the lakes. Now, is it that there's every lake has a variety, or do some lakes may have trout and other ones maybe pike or landlocked salmon or something? Is each lake a little bit different?
Yeah, all of them are a little different. There's some of them, most of them have Dolly Varden and cutthroat, and also there's a few kokanee and rainbows, and every lake's a little bit different, but there's mostly cutthroat and Dolly Varden. There's some salmon streams and some places where you can actually catch some pretty good sized salmon too.
Well, let's kind of give a mental picture then. First of all, if anybody, Bill, it sounds like you've been in a float plane before.
Once or twice, yes.
Yeah, I'll bet.
They're great.
But the thing about getting in a float plane and going to one of these lakes is it's like getting there is half the fun. Because, these planes travel at, they can go very low altitude, close to the ground, and fly, they don't fly that fast. So as you're kind of cruising along through these mountains, you can see the sheep and the different critters that are, that they're in the habitat as you're flying around. And just that experience, to me, taking off and landing is incredible because you can't tell when you leave the water or when you land on the water. It's just you would think that it wouldn't be as smooth as it is.
Well, our pilots tried to make it very, very smooth. I mean, they've been flying these airplanes a long time, and we try to make a very smooth takeoff and a smooth landing. And then on the way out and the way back, we'll give you some information on the local area, and if we can spot some animals along the way, we'll do that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of give us an idea of a couple of different types of trips where you can fly into Ketchikan, you can get on an airplane, and you can you can maybe spend a night or two in town and visit some of the local color and find food that they have in Ketchikan. Or you can stay at maybe Clover Pass or one of the lodges up there and do some salmon fishing and then take just a day trip. The other thing that we talked about is that if you're maybe a little more, say, hardcore, there's another option for you. What's that?
Take you out fly fishing.
Right. But instead of just doing a day trip.
Instead of doing a day trip, well, we can set you up with a nice Forest Service cabin in one of the, there's like 40 cabins here in Southeast Alaska. And what we'll do is we'll go ahead and set you up with, reservation. And we're all about convenience. So what we'll do is We'll help you prepare all your fishing gear, wilderness cabin stuff, utensils, cook stoves, and then we'll pick you up at the airport or wherever we might pick you up and take you right out to a lake.
Mm-hmm. And drop you off, and you can spend 3, 4, 5, or 7 days in a remote lake in the middle of nowhere in Alaska.
Forest Service done a tremendous job keeping these cabins up, and you know these cabins are very nice, very tight. They've got two or three bunks in there, sometimes four. They're bigger cabins. Mm-hmm. All you need to do is bring yourself some food. We'll help you set that up, and you know the items that you might need to cook with and things. But we'll set all that up for you and fly you out there and pick you back up in 6 to 7 days.
Bill, when we go up, you're going to be in charge of lighting the fire in the morning and making the coffee.
Right, and over the grill to keep an eye out for bears.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, let's talk a little bit about the wildlife you might see up there.
Well, we've got in the Misty Fjords, you'll probably see black bear and also some brown bear. And we've got a lot of the marine life. We've got seals and the humpback whales, orcas, mountain goats, eagles. There's some moose over in the Unic River area, but that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. And the concept then is you go to Alaska and you get on one of these planes and they take you out, and whether you want to do a day trip or spend a week out there, what about the gear? How big are these fish? Do people need to bring their own gear? Do you have gear? What do you suggest?
Now, what we'll do is as soon as we set up the reservation, we'll find out exactly what they need, and we'll go ahead and make up a lot of those details. And then what we'll do is we'll shop their grocer. We'll have somebody like Tatsuta's get the groceries ready for them. We'll have one of the local outfitters get their fishing equipment and actually the cabin gear ready. And all they need to do is show up here at our office, and so we'll pick them up at the airport dock or at their B&B or hotel or lodge. And we'll bring them here, and we'll just load up and go.
Well, one of the things, Bill, that I have to comment about this concept as opposed to going to Patagonia, although Patagonia is got to be at the top of the list for anybody that's serious about the real outdoors and really loves pristine fly fishing, is that Ketchikan, I live in Santa Barbara, and I can get on the airplane in Santa Barbara, fly to Seattle, and then to Ketchikan, and be there within less than 6 hours, and it's not that expensive. And then once you get up there, you can do this whole trip without having to spend $10,000.
No, that's fantastic. And Jim, one quick question too, since so many people in California love their kayaks, and especially if you're going to get dropped off at one of those remote cabins, can you take kayaks up there, or can you have a canoe or a kayak or something ready for these folks?
There's actually skiffs, little boats at just about all the cabins, and so one of the things we'll do is we'll set up also for the for their motors.
Okay, so they skiff, you just take your own gas and outboard with you, and then you can go out on the water.
We'll provide all the gas, and we'll get the outboard for you, and load all that stuff up and fly you out.
How easy is that? And on these remote areas, is there any communication?
We've got sat phones that we give our customers out there in case there's an emergency.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think, Bill?
Let's go.
Okay. So many places to go, so little time, right?
But exactly.
It's a very special area. And again, what's so easy about it is to get to Ketchikan, you don't have to take a float plane. But once you're there, you can go anywhere you want to go.
And what's the time frame for this, Jim? What are the best times to go?
I think that, mid-July and August are very, very good months. There's quite a bit of salmon around, too, and so it gives you a variation of fish to catch.
Mm-hmm.
I think July and August are really
and
good.
When you go out there, if you want to bring fish back, can you do that?
You know what? You can. I mean, there's mm-hmm. some catch and release steelhead and stuff out there, but mm-hmm. You can take some fish back.
Well, while you're up there, you spend a couple of days salmon fishing or maybe halibut fishing while you're in Ketchikan.
Yes.
No, that sounds like the perfect trip. Go up there and go out in a boat, catch some salmon, maybe some halibut, and fly in and have a great trip. But we're going to running out of time here. So, Jim, give us some quick information. I think that we said that your operation is Southeast Aviation out of Ketchikan, Alaska, and your website is the same, correct?
southeastaviation.com, and if you're interested in any of the trips, just go ahead and send us an email or look at what we have on site and then on our website. And also, if you go to the U.S. Forest Service cabins page, you can scroll down where it says Reserve America.
Perfect. And if you missed that, come back and listen to us again. Bill, of course, you know, we can ask you for information, but Patagonia is everywhere. So you don't even have to go.
We're trying, yes.
Right. But, you know, I understand Patagonia gave $6 million to conservation research last year.
That's about right, because our founders are 1% for the planet, so we donate.
Well, we're gonna have to go, but we appreciate what you guys are doing.